I know people get tired, and I think about myself. I think, well, you need to be tired. But if I ain't tired, I just ain't tired. We was up till, well, about 1 o'clock. And then we had a little session of prayer when we come home and had to do the baptizing, the preaching this morning. And as the old saying goes, I feel fit as a fiddle. I feel fine. I'm not tired. I feel like singing a song for Jesus, don't you? I feel the victory for Christ. You know, that has to be God, don't you agree? Has to be something from God. Why shouldn't a man be tired? Well, he should be, I guess. If everything's normal, he should be. But then, of course, who expects everything to be normal if you're serving God? I've been talking on some things that's been pretty strong here lately. And most of you have received it real well. Real well. I think I'm going to read a little bit from the book of Matthews. I got on this subject the other night. We've had two or three subjects that we have hit pretty regular here as of late in the last two or three sermons. And there are subjects that I had been asked to preach on for a long time. I had not evaded the issue, but I wanted plenty of time to preach on them because some of these issues, it takes quite a bit of time to expound the word, you know, and the understanding concern them. And if you don't have plenty of time, you run into problems. And people are just going to listen so long, that's all. Now, I can start preaching tonight, and since it might be a little lengthy, maybe in the preliminary part, that means I got probably a good 25 or 30 minutes, if I'm lucky, as the world says. If God gets into it, it'll do better than that. Because I don't believe in luck, so I'm trusting for the Lord to get into it. You know, we've been trained to what has been referred to in the past as popcorn sermons. Go to church at 6 o'clock, get us out by 7:30, and let us go on our way. See our favorite movie so we can get up and make the best out of life for our career. And it's just such a wishy-washy, mixed up, messed up, such a condition until the real gospel has been hindered so and the man of God's been hindered so till it's just about impossible, you know, to preach to people anymore. But nevertheless, God has opened the minds of people here at Bethlehem and has always blessed me wherever I went and give me listeners. And they've got interested in the Word of God and we've preached at length many times. These subjects are deep. I ministered on one of them the other night. I didn't get through with it. I just had to stop because I felt the people getting restless. And I don't care what kind of subject you own. When the people get restless, you might as well stop because they're not going to listen. Now, there'll be some of them that will listen. There'll be some of them that will sit here all night long. I've talked more than one time to people that sat all night long, and when the sunrise came or the morning came, they still say, Brother Pike, would you please talk about that some more? But then there are those that, as it was the case with Jesus himself, that Jesus said, could you not watch with me 1 hour? They went to sleep more than one time. The Bible records that they went to sleep on Jesus. And then Paul the Apostle, a man up in the loft there, he went to sleep while Paul preached because Paul was kind of long-winded. But I tell you what, the Word of God is so beautiful when people learn to sleep at home. You know, the Bible said if you're hungry, eat at home, and if you sleep, you sleep at home. Now, I don't say if you sleep, you sleep at home. I just said that. But when they learn to sleep at home and be wide awake, you know, in church. A lot of folks say, well, I doze in church because I got to get up early in the morning. Well, you ought to doze in the morning and leave your work off. Stay awake at church. Which is more important, your work or your soul? I really believe you could make both of them if you try. But I know what causes the difference. You want me to expose it? The Bible said all of your labor's for your belly because your belly craves it of you. That's what makes the difference. If you had a hunger and a thirst for the Word of God like you do for your belly, you'd stay wide awake in the services. It wouldn't make no difference if the preacher preached 1 hour or 2 hours. You'd sit there and enjoy it in the biggest way. But if people have their mind on movies and television and movie stars and automobiles, Cadillacs and houses and lands and pretty clothes and pretty faces and the lust of the flesh and mixing and mingling with each other and the opposite sex and all that kind of thing, they're not going to have any interest in the Word of God. The Bible said, as it was with the prodigal, you know, you fain fill your belly with the husk that the swine does eat. And then when your belly's all filled up, you come to church, you're not going to have any hunger and thirst after God. But brothers and sisters, the Bible teaches when you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you shall be filled. And I tell you, I'm hungering after it. I'm thirsting after it. I'm so hungry and thirsty for the things of God that all day long I hunger and thirst. All night long I hunger and thirst. I wake up in the morning hungering and thirsting. And for years and years it's been like that. And I'm so glad that I have that hunger and thirst. All right, let's read from Matthew's, the 19th chapter. I know some of the people, you know, they have little ones. And they say, well, Brother Pike, the reason I get restless is because of my little one. That's not true, really. Like I said, a lot of times the reason the little one gets restless is because of you. But, you know, it's no excuse, because back years ago when they had a meeting, when the little ones got all tired out, they just made a little pallet down on the floor, put them to sleep. Mom and Daddy went right on hearing the Word of God. And the little ones wasn't bothered, and the Mom and Daddy wasn't bothered either. I said, Brother Pye, you sound like the way you're talking, you're getting ready for one of them long ones. Well, if it's bothering you, we'll give you a chance to go before we start. See, if you get off to a good start, you can leave before it gets started, and that way it won't bother you. No, I'm not planning for anything long. It might get long, I don't know. But we're just going to try to say whatever he inspires us to say, whether short or long. But I do say this one thing, it's because you do not hunger and thirst. That's the reason that you don't get much from God. You say, well, when you come up here, Brother Pike, or the preacher's up there, I just don't want to hear him talk a long time. But see, that's where you make a mistake. The Bible says it's not him speaking, but the Heavenly Father. Now, can you imagine somebody saying that I don't want to hear you talk too long, God? You bore me. You take too long. You say what you got to say, God, and get it over with. Somebody said, but now, wait a minute, Brother Pike, that's not really God. Oh, yes, it's really God. If it's not really God, we're really lying. Because it said it's not you that speak, but the Heavenly Father. Now somebody said, well, you know, that's just a matter of speech. No, that's a matter of truth. It's the Heavenly Father speaking. So then you say, well, I just didn't understand. Well, that's all right. If you didn't understand, now you do understand. Won't have to get restless. Matthew's 19, reading from the first verse. I tell you what, I'll say this much just before I read. If you don't believe it's the Heavenly Father speaking, you should have known some of the preachers that come up here to preach before they ever got to be preachers and heard their manner of speech, and you'd know it was the Heavenly Father. It couldn't be them. The things that they talked about was so different. 19th chapter, the first verse, and it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came into the coast of Judea beyond Jordan. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him and saying unto him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. They say unto him, Why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement, and to put her away? He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery. His disciple saith unto him, If the case of the man be so with his wife, it is not good to marry. But he said unto them, All men cannot receive this saying, save they to whom it is given. For there are some eunuchs which are so born from their mother's womb, and there are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men. And there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it. Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked him. But Jesus said, Suffer little children, forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. Now then, when we read here about the little children, of such is the kingdom of heaven, a lot of times we get off base and we say, well, this means that God has made the kingdom out of little children. Jesus only used the little child to let us know what he was trying to get over to us. That lest you become as a little child, that is, a little child can be led. You can lead a little child. You can indoctrinate a little child. You can train a little child. You can get a little child to listen. Lest you become as a little child. He said you'd not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Because you're going to have to get willing to be led. Going to have to get willing to be under tutors. The Bible teaches that we are under tutors until the time appointed of the Father. So then we go through the stages of being tutored. And if we are not tutored, then we are not a candidate for what God has for us. A lot of people try to bypass the tutoring of God, and in so doing it, they fail to receive their heart's desire because they fail to be as a little child. They did not enter into the kingdom of God. Notice this. One outstanding thing that the Lord says here, he said, a man and his wife, they're no longer twain. A man and his wife is no longer twain, but they are one flesh. Now, if you remember, this is the same thing that we talked about down the baptism. And we referred you back to, or referred back to, the book of Genesis. We went back to these writings that Moses gave to us concerning the man and his wife. Paul spoke one time concerning the man and his wife, and he said, This is a great mystery concerning the church. Whereas it really thrills my heart to be a steward of the mysteries of God, and to understand what Paul meant when he said this is a mystery concerning the church. For it has to do with the time when Peter made the statement concerning Jesus that he made in himself twain. Twain. He made in himself twain. The writer said he made in himself twain. A man and his wife, no longer twain, but Jesus made in himself twain. yet he was one. He was both Lord and Christ, which means both male and female, are both man and wife, both God and church. You understand what I'm saying? How many of you believe that Jesus was God? In his spirit, he was God, both Lord and Christ. When you say Lord, you're saying the church. When you're saying Christ, you're speaking of God. He was both God, which was the eternal spirit with all power and authority, but he was also the church or the body, which was the Lord over his house or head, as any man would be over his house. He was the body or the Lord. He was flesh, he was blood. He was just like I am and just like you are, which means he was the church. The church is his body. And Paul said the members of his body in particular, which is the church, the body of Jesus Christ. So he came down into this world to take on the feminine part, which was the fall of mankind. He came down to the woman side of it. Adam gave way to the feminine side of it because Adam was the feminine side of it. A woman is only typical of what is feminine. There is a masculine, which is the spirit. There is a feminine, which is the flesh. And God made in the flesh both masculine and feminine to show the real masculine of the spirit and the real feminine, which is the flesh. So then he made in himself twain. Why did he make in himself twain? So that he could draw together once again heaven and earth, or the body and the spirit. What did Peter mean, or what did the writer mean, when he said he made in himself both Lord and Christ? What was he trying to say? He was trying to tell us that now God had united man back to himself. When Adam fell from the garden, it was obvious that what the beast had done was take the bride of Adam and separate the bride of Adam from Adam. And there was now a division between God and man, because that's what was represented. That was obvious in the fall. But the coming of Jesus was to make in himself twain, that he might restore again that great wonderfulness of God in the heart of mankind, and bring together the body and the spirit once again. But nevertheless, the Bible tells us that when he hung upon Calvary, that while he was there at Calvary, the veil was rent in twain. Ain't it right? While he hung upon Calvary, the Bible said that the veil was rent in twain. Why did God rend it in twain? Because he made in himself twain. What is twain? Two. God rent the veil in twain, which means he separated the Christ from the Lord. Hanging the body upon Calvary, he separated the spirit from the body. He did that to show the fall of Adam. He did that to show the curse of sin. He did that to show the distance between God and man. Isn't that right? When Jesus was made sin, when he was made a curse, the veil was rent in twain. The separation of the two came. At Calvary it came because he hung upon a tree to become a curse for you and me. For in the law it's written that everyone that hangeth upon a tree shall be cursed. Judas hanged himself upon a tree. He was cursed in the sight of God. In the Old Testament, when somebody was cursed, Saul's sons, they hang them upon a tree. Isn't that right?
See, God did that, separating the Lord from the Christ to let us know that it was the curse of sin and that Jesus came to pay the price and the full penalty of the mistake and the errors of the first man, Adam. And so then when Jesus was nailed to Calvary, God poured out his wrath upon Calvary. He poured out his wrath upon Jesus. And the Bible said the Son turned dark as sackcloth of hair. God turned his back on his Son because he that knew no sin was made sin, my sin and your sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And so then when he hung there at Calvary, God rent the veil in twain, separated the Lord from the Christ. He smote the Lord part, and there sin was paid for. But you know the beautiful part about it? Was that when Christ Jesus went down into the heart of the earth, preached to the souls in prison, paid the penalty and the chastisement of God in the flames of hell, he paid that penalty for sin. Then he came back up, he crossed the Jordan, which is death, overcame. The powers of death came up in the resurrection and stood as twain once again. Isn't that right? He stood life united with the body once again, justifying us in the sight of God, and then went away to be with God, sitting down at the right hand of the Father until his enemies be made his footstool. It is so beautiful to know the mystery of what Paul was saying about the great mystery of the man and the wife. This is what Paul was trying to get over to us. Being the great revelator, having the mind of God, going up into the third heaven, seeing these things in another dimension, he understood the life of mankind. He understood what God was doing with mankind. That's why it is so needful that a man and his wife be joined together. That's why it's so needful that they be locked together in one unit. Because they represent Christ, and they represent the church. It represents God, the Holy Spirit, inside of the human temple, walking in the human body. That's why the body should be sanctified. We should sanctify our bodies daily. Isn't that right? Every day of our life, we ought to sanctify our bodies. I should sanctify my body every day that I can be a vessel unto honor for God. You know, take a person, an individual, they need to take a bath every day. Don't you agree? Somebody said, well, I don't take a bath, but just every other day. Well, you're not going to smell too good on them off days. A man needs to take a bath every day. He needs to get under the water. He needs to wash real good. Isn't that right? He needs to get all, well, when you say perfumed up, not perfumed up, but a little deodorant won't hurt him. You understand what I mean? He don't need to smell like a 10-cent store and pour all the perfume bottles on him. But he does need to be decent in the sight of humanity and in the sight of God as a representative of God. I believe that. All right, how do you understand what I'm saying? So you need to take a bath every day. I'll tell you what, you fail to take a bath in the waters of life every day and one day you're going to smell. Every day you fail to pray. Every day you fail to get away with God. Every day you fail to take a little time out to study, to refresh yourselves in the waters of God and cleanse yourself in the waters of God. That's the day that you're going to smell. That's the day that you're going to get a little temperamental. That's the day you're going to get a little out of sorts. That's the day you're going to be a little lustful. That's the day you're going to be a little contrary. That's the very day, friend, that you're going to be just a little bit besetting in what you do, contrary to the Word of God and the ways of God. Did you know that? But I'll tell you what, if you'll get under the showers of God every day, clean yourself up from the things of the world and all of them that you have to associate with, and take some of the Holy Ghost and put him all over you, you'll smell so good in the sight of God. And the Bible said, as in the days of Noah, a sweet smelling savor will come up from your earth. Isn't that right? All right. So then, the Lord Jesus, the mystery of the church, being made twain, shows us that a man and wife ought to be one. I need to be one with my wife. She needs to be one with me. What is the post of duty for a wife? Complete submission and surrender to her companion. If there's anything short of complete surrender, she is not in her full place with God. If there is any speck of rebellion, any speck of her own human endeavors and desire that does not flow freely with her husband or pleasing to her husband, then she hasn't really done what she needs to do. Not speaking in the natural. Not speaking in the natural. You should walk right with him. The same way in the spirit. Brothers and sisters, I should sanctify myself daily. It's not that my daily sanctification has anything to do with my salvation. My daily sanctification has nothing to do with my salvation. I am sanctified once and for all by the offering up of the body of Jesus Christ on the tree. I am perfect in the sight of God by the blood of Jesus. I am forever clean in God's sight. But there's one thing about it. If I don't sanctify myself daily in His presence, then I fail to be used of God. I cannot be a good servant. I cannot be used thoroughly of God unless I stay clean and holy. That's why I made the statement earlier tonight that we that bear the vessels of God, we should be holy, we should be clean, we should depart from iniquity. Every one of us should leave off with the things of the world. We shouldn't entangle ourselves with the things of the world. Paul teaches in his writings that a good soldier don't entangle himself with the things of the world, but he wants to please his master. Why should I get entangled with the things of the world? Like I made the statement earlier today, look at the church world. They're so mixed up with the things of the world. They've got to play football. They've got to play basketball. They've got to play baseball. They've got to watch some kind of television program. They've got to get into politics. They've got to do all the things of the world. Now, don't you know that that isn't going to mix with anything spiritual? Can't you just imagine these brethren at Bethlehem that's talking about God and spiritual things? Here comes in some church and they say, now we've got to get ready for our ball team. We've got to plan our strategy. Why, you're not drawing people to God. You're drawing people to the world. You're drawing people to carnality and to death. You're drawing people out yonder to follow the flesh. You're building up the wrong side of it, displeasing God and bringing the world into the church. Don't you know that you're not spiritual minded? You're carnally minded. Don't you know the Bible said to be carnally minded is death? Don't you know that a man couldn't hear a church comes in and with another church, and this church is spiritual and this one's got a ball team. And this one over here wants to talk about Jesus and the deep mysteries of God and the things of God and draw people into this understanding. And here, this one is trying to get together saying, but brother, you don't understand. We got a game coming up pretty soon now. And we got to practice and we got to get together. Don't you see how silly that is? You know what? I've said this a lot of times. I know my expressions are crude, but I believe you can get the point if you listen. I've said this before. Couldn't you just picture James and John and Paul leaving off with the gospel to go out yonder to some ball game? Like it was said of Oral Roberts over here in Memphis, Tennessee, when he had a revival and said, I got to make a decision. I can't go to my revival and go to my basketball, whatever. So he made a decision. He decided to go to the basketball play. Left off with revival. You know what I think God done? I think God made a decision and decided to leave off with Oral Roberts. That's what I believe. You say, well, I don't think that way. Well, I think that way, and I believe God thinks that way. You say, how do you get that? The Bible said you've rejected my word, and I've rejected you. Wasn't that the way he done Saul? Now look at Saul. Saul was going to be a great king, you know, greater than anybody else. So what did Saul do? He said, let's add a little world to it. Well, everything don't have to be spiritual. I know these prophets say such and such, but after all, God likes sacrifices. Let's go over here and get us some of these cattle. We would kill these people out. Get some of their gold. Get some of their silver. Get some of the world and let's offer it to God. And so they did. And you know what God said? God said, Saul, because you rejected my word, I rejected you. So I told you not to do that. I told you I didn't want anything that pertained to the heathens. And not to practice the way of the heathens, and not to add the way of the heathens to your life, and not to bring into that heathenistic thing into my house or into those things. The Bible said if you bring the price of a dog into the house of God, it's abomination in the sight of God. And the Bible said those folks are dogs. Now, I didn't say that. Jesus said that. Isn't that right? He said those people that go back to the wallowing in the mire, they're swines. Isn't that right? People that do those things, what did God say about it? Brother, do you think that you can be God's man and God's woman? You people here, do you feel that you can be God's people and do those kind of things? Do you think you can belong to a basketball team or be a church and have a football team? Don't you know better than that? I say again, can't you just picture Paul and Peter taking off time to go to a basketball team or game? Can't you picture Jesus sitting on the sideline of a football team saying that I can't go to my service right now. I got to wait till this ball game's over. Sitting under some television watching that. Don't you see how silly 700 Club is and PTL Club and that kind of thing? Don't you see that's a bunch of children playing around with the things of God that's going to bring the wrath of God on them and on the world too? Oh, brother, sister, you go down to the old Roberts campus and see men and women running around in shorts, running around on the campus. You mean to tell me that God is in such a thing as that? I say again, if God's in what old Roberts is doing with them people running around half naked out there, then I'm a false prophet. You don't have to tell me, I'll tell you. If God is in churches having football games, you don't have to tell me I'm a false prophet. I'll tell you I'm a false prophet. I tell you, God's not in it. God's not anywhere in it. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's not in anything like that. And I'll tell you what more, God put them on clothes in the garden. And if God came by Old Roberts' place, the first thing he'd do is put them on some clothes. You let him get in Old Roberts' place and Old Roberts will preach, put on some clothes. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Is that right? Can't you just picture Paul the Apostle going to the Oral Roberts University? Standing out there preaching to him like a doctor of divinity? And preaching to them people? And praising the Oral Roberts University saying, bless you children for running around half naked. Can't you just picture Paul doing that? I'll tell you what, when Paul got through with his first revival, there'd be a complete reformation in the UOR, whatever it is. O-R-U. That's right. And I'll tell you what, he sharpened some things up at Bethlehem too. If he dropped by here, we'd sharpen up some too. Did you know that? That's right. I am persuaded to believe that there is only one way to God, and that is through God's Spirit. And God's Spirit don't play baseball, and God's Spirit don't play basketball, and God's Spirit don't go out here to the frolics of the world, racing and jumping and pole vaulting and racing and all of the frolics of the world. As a matter of fact, God ain't in all the eating and drinking that man's doing in this day. If he is, why does the Bible say, as it was in the days of Noah, they shall be eating and drinking? God's not in all this marriage. Or why does he say, they shall be given in marriage? Why didn't God say, I'll be eating and drinking? Say, well, God don't eat and drink. Well, he did. He went into the Last Supper, and the Bible said he ate with them, and he said, if you'll open up your heart, I'll come in and sup with you. You know what it is? Brothers and sisters, there's something that we're missing. There's something that we need to know as the church world. And Paul said, I say, we or I to keep from saying you. There is something that we need to get a hold of as a people. And that is that you cannot mix darkness with light. There is no mixing of the world with the things of God. If you want to be a pretty boy, a playboy, or you want to be some great movie star, go to Hollywood or join up with something, whatever it takes to be that. Don't try to be a preacher. Don't try to be a Christian. Don't try to drag everything into the house of God and bring the curse of God on you. Don't be foolish. Today, if you could talk to old Roberts, he'd tell you to your face, I know that he would, that he has played the fool in what he has done, and he wished he could go back and undo it. As a matter of fact, I heard the statement not too long ago that somebody said he made the statement, I wished I had stayed with the tent. Not only that, but a few days ago he was understood to say on TV, said he was on the verge of losing all that he had and his soul along with it. Brothers and sisters, there is a right way, isn't it right? And there's a wrong way. And when men go after the world, they play the fool. When men go after the world, they play the fool. When you try to bring the world into God's house, God will get you somewhere down the line. Hallelujah. You know, it's like I told my wife today. I said, there's one thing about it. When I stand before God, I've got one thing on my side, and that is I stayed with the Word. Now, God might not like the way I presented it. He might not like my method. He might not agree with my disposition of things. And he might get on to me about it, and he might not have me for it. But I'll tell you one thing. He won't reject His Word. He won't back up on His Word. He won't change His Word. That one thing I know will be the same thing and be sure when I get there. That much I've got in my favor. Now, I believe that if we are to make in ourselves as one with God, our body and our spirit together, brothers and sisters, we've got to get rid of all of you and I, get rid of all of the ball games, all of the television shows, all of the petting parties, all of the educational system of today, and get down to business with God and get filled with the Spirit and stay in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, that we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. I believe that we've got to mortify the deeds of our body, and we've got to get out of our old human ambition, our old human ingenuity, and all the things of this world that causes us to want to be like the world. We've got to get away from that. It's time that the church world got away from those foolish kind of things. If you want to be part of the world, you need to get out there with the world. If you want to be some great athlete, go join up with the sports world. Don't drag God's people into it. If you want to be a movie star, go to Hollywood. If you want to be a president, start campaigning and let people know about it. Don't drag God's people into all the mess. But that's what the church world has done. That's what the preachers have done. You know what's caused that? I said today, and I say it again here tonight, we was talking about it this evening. As a matter of fact, Brother Rudy and I was talking about it in the upper room up here. What has caused that is the universities has hatched those things out. That is what caused it. The parents have eaten sour grapes. And the Bible said their children's teeth are on edges. And the Bible said they've hatched off a bunch of cockatrice, beetles, beatniks, hell's angels, and all kind of things running up and down the road. Isn't that right? You would literally be shocked if you're not acquainted with some of the statistics of today. When it comes to those that are taking dopes and taking pills, if you're not acquainted with it, if you don't know the statistics on it, if you've never looked into it, you wouldn't believe it if I told you tonight. The world in general tonight, including the army and the medical profession and the athletes and all of the church world thrown in with it, the people in general are dope addicts. Having turned away from God, and they can't keep their mind together, they can't keep their nerves together, they can't do nothing unless they are up on pills or are carried away with some kind of dope. You know what's caused that? The thing that's caused it is their bodies are overcharged with the desire of human flesh. Devils and demons have gotten into their bodies. They don't want to go to sleep at night. They want to make money. They want to work one job, three jobs, five jobs, 10 jobs, day and night around the clock till they break their nerve down. Money, crazy for money. They got to go to college. They got to go to school. They got to study all night long, trying to get some silly degree. And by the time they get it, they're already ready to go to the insane asylum. Somebody say, I love Jesus. They get so broke down, so tore up, they're driven in their passions until they can't be satisfied with their wife or anybody else's wife or somebody else's husband. They're just torn to bits. Devils and demons gnawing at them just like maggots in a dead dog. Eating them up, driving them wild until their nerves is just collapsing on them. Why? Because you walk in the flesh, you fulfill the lust of the flesh. Don't you know that no sober-minded person, beloved friend, can go out there in the church world and play football and basketball and do the things that these great leaders are doing and still keep a clear conscience with God? Sad to say that those ministers, those leaders, have pulled some of the godly people, the holy people, out into that mess out there, making them think that that thing was right, and they're tormented and tore up, and their conscience is just killing them. And them thinking that it's the right thing to do. But you know God's going to get them out of those slop holes. Did you know that? God is going to bring the truth. That's why I preach like I do. I can't see how a minister can bend so low or stoop so low for dollars and fame to let somebody stay there tormented, let somebody stay there and be driven when he knows that they put them in chains of slavery and that they've got them out there into the world and they're sapping them and taking every dollar, every dime from them. And as the Bible said, feeding themselves, building great empires, building great buildings, building prestige. They care more about school, more about frolics, more about sports, more about winning a race. I heard the other day that they caught Oral Roberts cheating on the basketball team. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. I'm just repeating what I heard. I don't know. But could you imagine that being true? I hope it isn't true. A man that's been so great, so mighty, that has literally, to some extent, shook the world. At one time had a ministry so great that I heard that people from overseas came to America because they thought the rapture was taking place. They say it actually took place. He was so powerful that he caused certain Jesus' name people that had been baptized in Jesus' name to backtrack, think they were wrong, being weak, and turn back to Trinity because of his influence. And look at him now. Oh, brother and sister, that's so wrong. When I went through the T.L. Osborne Foundation, I said here the other night, I'll tell you the truth, I'm so sorry I went through that thing. I went through there because I had such great respect for the man. And when I went through there, I never seen such evil and low-down filth in my life put together, bought with people's money that's supposed to be blood money to do something for God. And there was that filth and that junk all together put there in a museum for people to come in there and see. My wife was so disgusted till she was all upset over it. I was upset over it, and there my children was done got in there looking at the filth. Oh, let me tell you something, folks. God will burn their fields for those things. God will burn their fields for those things. And when men like Billy Graham uphold such things as Elvis Presley, one of the low-downest, rottenest, ungodliest things that's ever been in the earth, destroyed the morals of mankind, slap across the world, even in Sweden and different places in Europe and around the world that we went to. The girls were driven wild with filth and lust, and the people wild over Elvis Presley. Anointed of the devil to do his filth and his corruption. And do you think that God is going to let somebody like Rex Humbart pray a prayer for Elvis Presley and Elvis shed a few tears? And because of that, after that, he's a Christian? go back to his filthy, evil, low-down way of living like he did when he put one of his last shows on here in Atlanta, Georgia? And you think God is going to accept that? God isn't going to accept such filth as that. What kind of God do you think he is? Do you think God would send me to scream and preach and pray and seek God and give my life to something to tell the people the truth and print page after page, Bibles across the world down through the years and protect it with men's blood and lives? And then all of a sudden do about face and double cross his people, people that have spilt their blood down through the years that are laying out there in a grave waiting for the promise of his coming, and then double cross every one of them in turn and God himself turn and do evil. Oh no. Abraham said, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Brother, I can assure you he'll do right. If you don't believe he'd done right, you look at Sodom and Gomorrah. He didn't spare it even though Lot was down there. He said, get out of here, Lot. Oh, but my daughters and sons is down here. I said, get out of here, Lot. I'm going to destroy this place. Noah, you get that ark ready. Get your family in there. I'm going to tear this place up. Is that right? Folks, God won't tolerate them kind of things. He won't do it. My body is the vessel of God. My body is the temple of God. Some of you wives here, your mind wandering around on some kind of filth, wanting to get a hold of some kind of dope, do you want to be a pig? If you want to be a pig, go out there and get in the pig pens. I made the statement today, what do you expect to find in the hog pen but slop? That's where they pull the slop. That's where the mire is, Jesus said, the wallowing in the mire. What is the world doing out there? They're wallowing in the mire. Somebody say, Brother Pike, what are you talking about? I'm talking about a bunch of football players is nothing but swines and dogs wallowing in the slop. And basketball players too, and baseball players too. Oh, Brother Pike, you've done it now. I sure did do it. Praise God, I done it. A bunch of pigs, a bunch of dogs wallowing in the slop. And if you don't believe it, get down there on a good rainy day and watch the football players just roll around and it gets so sloppy and muddy they look worse than a hog. I've seen hogs that was in better shape when they got out of the mud. What is it? It's beasts. That's why they call them everything from tigers to lions and wolves and bears and everything else. It's the world. They're wandering around. They're in the hog pens. Jesus said to you that believe in God, you that love the Lord, you that know better, you that hear the word, you that hear my voice, Jesus said, come out from among them and be a separate people. Come out of the world. Touch not the unclean things and I will receive you, saith the Lord. You know, but we go back to this. A lot of times we go back to this very thing. They say, but Brother Pike, you don't understand. You're supposed to preach love. How silly can you be? Can't you just see God catching a hold of the heavens, shaking the stars? The Bible said, until the stars fall out of heaven and catching the mountains and turning them upside down and ripping the earth open, shaking every building until the nations of the world fall. And you say, now wait a minute, God, we've been taught love. Brother, that is love. That's love on display. That's that God of love shaking the devil until he makes his teeth rattle, as we say. That's God loving his own and getting rid of the problem. Can't you just picture them two prophets as they walked through the land? When the Bible said their sermons tormented them that live on the earth, that dwell on the earth, them two prophets of Revelation, them two prophets during a tribulation, the Bible said their message literally tormented them people. They were tormented. Why, those people of the world, they rejoiced. They gave gifts. When those prophets were killed, somebody said, oh my, let's send somebody a gift. Let's celebrate. It's like Christmas time. Them fellas are dead that tormented us. Can't you just imagine that? Said, well, wasn't they preaching love? I believe they were. I believe when Jesus turned them tables over and popped that whip and drove them out of the temple, I believe he was the spirit of love. I believe he was the God of love. I believe that was God in action.
That same wonderful God, that same loving Jesus, that same one, that same God of heaven and earth. Oh, folks, listen. We've got to understand that the world is in iniquity. And somebody would say, but Brother Pike, God so loved this world. I've said this a lot of times. The Bible said God so loved the world. I know it says that. The Bible says that. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But brother, you misunderstand what God said. He said, whosoever believeth in him. God so loved the world that he gave the word that whosoever believeth in the word. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? Whosoever believeth in the word. He that heareth me and believeth on the word. Me, the word. Will do the works that I do. What kind of works? Works of righteousness. Isn't that right? Following my steps. Who did no sin. Neither was guile found in his mouth. God so loved the world. I say this again. God so loved the world. The way that he made the world, friend. In the beginning, he made it so beautiful. The Shekinah glory of God was over it. Man and woman was pure. Everything was lovely. God made it lovely. Made all things beautiful. God so loved the world the way he made it. But he was so grieved when man failed. And he saw their wickedness and said it was so great till it repented him that he'd ever made a world of mankind or anything else. But he so loved it in its condition of beauty and purity that he gave his only Son to redeem it from that awful fall where he wanted to deny it. And he gave his Son to redeem it, to bring it back to the millennium, to that garden condition that would be so beautiful, so precious, so wonderful in the sight of God, that sinless earth. That's the way God loved it. So that he would bring it back to where man would be sinless and the earth would be sinless. Isn't that right? You know why man don't want it? Because man and woman wants a meal ticket. That's why. They're following for the fishes and the loaves. That's where the 700 club's gone. That's where the PTL club's gone. That's where the rest of them's gone. A meal ticket. They're not caring about man. They're not caring about man's soul. They're not caring about the things of God. They want their little computerized thinking up here to satisfy the greed of their body and their hungers and their thirst for their own personal gain, their personal desire and personal advantage in their own families. The old saying, my forward no more. But brother, sister, God isn't going to have it that way. I say again, God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but he did send him to condemn sin in the flesh. He did command us not to walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Isn't that right? God said, walk after the Spirit. And he said, if we walk in the Spirit, we'll mortify the deeds of the body, and we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Isn't that right? You know, I praise God for one thing. Brother, when you hear the gospel, you don't never get away from it. No, 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 never no more. You might go to Europe, you might go to Canada, you might go to South America, you might go to Alabama, you might go to Florida, but as long as you live, it's inside of you. And you don't ever escape it. Like a man that's got fear. He might run here and there to get rid of it, but when he gets over yonder, it's right there with him. Failure is right there with him. Unbelief is right there with him. Sin is right there with him. His complex is right there with him. Isn't that right? You don't get it by running here and there, my brother. But I'll tell you what. You can get it from here. He that drinketh of this water shall never thirst again. Isn't that right? Never again will he thirst. Because this is the waters of life. Out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Oh, I feel like I'm just getting started. And I feel so good. And I don't feel tired. I just feel like preaching, don't you? Glory to God, I feel like saying something for Jesus. No wonder Paul was long-winded, because he felt so good. You love Jesus? Oh, somebody said, I'm so tired. Well, all I got to do is get born again. Amen. Be strong in the power of His might. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, I was thinking yesterday, get hold of them big iron pieces, 27, 40 feet long. Well, it wasn't no problem to handle them things. Isn't that right? Paper weighing 600 and 800 pounds. Well, ain't no problem to handle that. You know why? Because God takes care of these people at Bethlehem. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Don't you feel good? Hallelujah. It reminds me of Brother Walker, 70 years old. Or Brother Walker, he got a hold of something. I tell you what, he sings that song, I Feel Good, Good, Good. You go over to Jamaica and he just walked 10, 15 miles up the mountain. I say, my, I wish I had a banana. I'd be right back. 15 miles over the mountain, he comes back with a banana. I say, oh no. In the rain sometime too. I say, where did he go? Well, he just went over the mountain. I said, what do you mean he went over the mountain? I'm serious. I said, well, he went to get you some bananas. I say, over the mountain. I say, no, not over the mountain to get me a banana. He said, yeah, it ain't about 10 or 15 miles over there. I say, walking? Yeah, well, that's nothing. Not to Brother Walker. Oh, folks, I'll tell you right now, when you get a hold of this, that's one thing. But when this gets a hold of you, that's another thing. Hallelujah! Somebody say, I love Jesus. Glory to God. It's no wonder the Bible said it's like the sun shining within his strength, Brother Nix. Praise God. I appreciate our Brother Nix coming down to be with us. He drives a long ways from the other side of Gainesville to come down here and be with us, and it really thrills my heart. He loves the Lord. I really believe he loves Jesus. All right. Let's have mercy on you. Stand together. Praise God. You know, if you get that super endurance, you have to have mercy on him others. Praise God. It's so wonderful to be a Christian. I love you people from my heart. I love you. I really do. I love you from my heart. And I just feel like I could shout and run and sing. Oh my, I could just run and shout and sing. You know, my wife, she gets so wore out with me. She said, why don't you stay in the bed? But you know, I can't stay in the bed. I lay down and I don't want to stay in the bed. You know, if you're not tired, you don't want to stay in the bed. Oh, if you work all day. No, I've done that too and then prayed just about all night too. Still want to get up early. I'm telling you the truth. You say, oh, now, not so, Brother Pike. So help me God, it's the truth. You know, when you got Jesus and you got faith in God, brother, there's no telling what will get a hold of you. There's no telling how you'll feel. Old Brother Elisha was so filled with God and so filled with strength that after he died, they throwed the dead man in on his bones, and his bones were so strong it kicked the dead man back out. He couldn't even stand there with his bones. He had so much power and strength in his bones that the dead man was resurrected, brought back out. Isn't that something? Now that's the way we ought to feel. Somebody say hallelujah. That's the reason I talk about the Word of God like I do, because it's life. Jesus said, I come that you might have life, not have just a religion. I ain't talking about joining a church and being religious and coming and sitting down like a bunch of people half dead, you know, and waiting for the funeral to take place so the preacher can preach your funeral. We're talking about living, folks. This is life. When God sent the gospel, He sent life. He's the Prince of life. I want to live, don't you? We're talking about living. Living. Glory to God, I'm talking about living. The more I talk about it, the better I like it. And the better I like it, the more I talk about it. It's just kind of round in a circle. Well, hallelujah. Praise God. I know you don't understand me. I don't think Betty does either. She tries hard. But I hope Jesus does. I hope He understands me. If he don't understand me, I'm going to be in bad shape. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Somebody said, I wonder why come them holiness folks is the only one that really does that shouting. Some of them's the only ones got the energy to shout.
Hallelujah. The world uses it up out yonder. I ain't talking about people called Pentecost now. There's some holiness folks in the Baptist church too. They shout sometime too. I'm talking about holiness folks. All right. You know, we done got to such a place in the world that you ask somebody what you are. They say, well, I'm Baptist. I'm Methodist. And what are you? I am Pentecostal. I'm talking about holiness folks. Praise God. Holiness people. Them that are called by his name. Well, I don't know. Now, Brother Taylor, he acts like this too. Let's sing a little chorus together, can we? Praise the Lord. Oh, it's so wonderful to be a Christian. I want to do something for Jesus, folks. You know, you're just passing this way one time, that's all. Just one time you're going down this trail. And then after that, that's all there is to it. If you don't do something this time, you missed it all. You missed it all. But let's do it right this time. We won't have a second chance. Let's try to do it right for Christ's sake this time. Let's do it God's way. Let's do it right. We can. We can do it right if you want to. We can do it right. Let's do it for Christ's sake. Can we? All right. Let's sing this song. I like this little song. It best expresses the way I feel. Let's give the glory to Jesus. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about God's love. We'll sing about God's love, and we'll give all the glory to Jesus, and we'll sing of his wonderful love. Can you sing it again now? Oh, we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about God's love. We'll sing about God's love. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus.